going. All right. I have a few announcements before our brother in Christ, Mike Clark, comes up and shares God's word with us this morning. The bookstore, which is out in the lobby, is open immediately today after the morning fellowship, and it's only open for 30 minutes. They have many topical books that would be great for individual or group studies. And also, if you ever have any questions about anything, they'll be able to answer any questions. But anything, you know, that'll help you grow in your desire, especially. That's something I need help with all the time. Grow in your desire or understanding of a particular aspect of studying God's word. There's no wrong or silly or somewhat too small a question. So, and it's great fellowship too. So after 30 minutes after, they're meeting out in the lobby by the, over there in the corner with all the, you'll see all the books and the music CDs and things like that. So, and then family camp forms are also available in the lobby or online. And just a reminder, it's something you should, it seems like it's a little ways off. And, you know, and as we heard last week, none of us are too busy to think about those things. No, we're all very busy. We all got a lot going on, and it kind of creeps up on some of us sometimes. So just in light of what God's doing in the church in general, it's a spiritual journey we're on together. And just like the work day or something else I'm going to announce here in a second, these are all things that is being directed by the Spirit of God, you know, through our Lord to the church. And it's not like we just, you know, until he tells us not to do it, we're going to keep doing it. And this is how the church works. This is how God works in blessing the body and taking care of each other. And just so we can live this word out together and to the fullest to glorify him. So that's part of that, the camp. So consider going to that. Most of us probably already have decided, but we still don't. We wait till the last minute. So it would be a blessing if people would get your forms in as soon as possible. But there is a deadline on that, and I don't have that in front of me, but that's okay. You don't need a deadline if you take care of it soon. Also, there's a music night on June 10th, and please email Tom Burke if you're interested in being part of it. Again, that's the same thing. You know, there's something that being directed by the Lord through the leadership of the church, and it's another opportunity to not only participate in that or to be a part of it, but there's other areas of service I think will probably be mentioned coming up in the future. It's a great time if those of you who have been to those before. And it's, again, it's the church doing something together to edify and build each other up. All right, so before Mike comes up to share God's word, we're going to sing number 40, He Lifted Me.
Jesus came, my soul in mercy to reclaim, and from the depths of sin and shame, through grace God lifted me. From sinking sand, he lifted me, with tender hand, he lifted me, from shades of night to plains of light, oh, praise his name.
Good morning, everyone. God bless you. It's wonderful to be here with you. I want to thank Tom for allowing me the privilege of teaching God's Word this morning. It's always a joy. And before we get into it, we're going to pray, okay? Heavenly Father, thank you for calling us out of this world, for bringing us into your family, and what a joy it is to be able to gather together here as your family, as brothers and sisters in Christ who are seeking to know you better, to love you more, and the joy we can have as we edify one another with your word and with your love. And Father, that we might bring glory to you in the things that we do here today. And I pray for hearts that are humble and meek, ready to receive from you and to learn from you so that we can walk better in this world and show forth your light to the world around us. And I just thank you for this opportunity we have together. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Okay, how many of you have read the new article on the website, Hannah's article? Good. Well, you'll know right where I'm going then this morning. Because, you know, in the article, she talks about the disconnect we sometimes experience between what we see happening in God's Word and then what we see happening in our lives. And she points out in that article that that disconnect is what we call faith or believing. And in the article, she goes on to consider two very important questions when I experience that disconnect. And the questions are, why am I not believing, and how do I change? Now, I'm not going to reteach her article this morning, but if those are questions you have, that's a great thing to go to because she covers it in some detail. But this morning, I really want to just look on that point of that disconnect, faith or believing. And, you know, it's something that really is so simple that we make very challenging. It takes growth in God's Word, of course, but God has put it in very simple fashion for us so that we can live in this world the way He wants us to live and enjoy all the benefits of the salvation we have received in Him. And, you know, the bridge between the doctrine, the teaching of God's Word, and our practice is that thing called faith or believing. And God's Word is full of very simple examples of that. We're going to start in Romans chapter 1. And we're really not going to be covering any new ground this morning. For most of the faces in here, this is going to be a review for you. But I would just encourage you to remember that we're dealing with the Word of God. There's always more to be learned. There's always deeper understanding to be had. And, you know, the Word is doctrine, reproof, and correction to us, depending on where our heads are at and what's going on at the time. But here in Romans chapter 1, it makes this point very clear. Verse 16, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that" what? To everyone that believes. You know, God's Word is living. God's Word is powerful. And that power becomes real for us when we take it from just being these words on a page to believing what it says. And then it is the power of God unto salvation. It manifests itself in our lives. Hebrews 4:12. Go to Hebrews 4. It's a very familiar verse to us in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." You know, God's word is quick or living, and it is powerful. Look at back in chapter 3 of Hebrews. Right at the end, I don't want to read through the whole record, but in the end of this chapter, this is one of those places where it would have been better had they not put a chapter division in it, because the context just continues, because he's talking about why those who were supposed to enter into the promised land failed to do so. And in verse 19 of chapter 3, it says, "So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. For one, let us therefore fear, lest the promised being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." You know, they had heard God's word. They had the opportunity to enter into the promised land. That's what God wanted them to do, right? But when they heard that, they chose not to do what God said. And that unbelief caused them to fail to receive what God had for them because it wasn't mixed with believing in them that heard it. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. First Thessalonians chapter 2. These people that Paul came in and preached the gospel to had just the opposite experience. Because it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." You know, they heard Paul preaching, they heard the words he was speaking, but they recognized that what he was speaking was not Paul's thoughts, not Paul's view. What he was preaching was the word of God. And in recognizing that, they believed it for what it was, for the word of God. You know, and I'm sure we've all had this experience. Somebody was talking to me the other day and talking about when we first heard God's word to the end that we believed it. And I remember that very vividly in my own life. You know, I had been searching and seeking and fumbling around because I was looking in all the wrong places. And I had a friend come to me. Well, the thing that was interesting was I had known this guy for quite a while. And we were involved in, like I said, seeking in the wrong places, using mind-enhancing substances and doing things. But this guy had gotten to the point where you couldn't carry on a coherent conversation with him. He was got so lazy, was just mooching off everybody. He became somebody that we were all trying to avoid just because it was not pleasant to be around. And some things had happened, and I had gotten ill and had to move back home, and I hadn't seen the guy for a few months. And then he comes knocking on my door. And he had my attention right off the bat, because when I opened the door and saw him, this wasn't the guy I'd seen a few months before. The best way I can describe it, which he wasn't literally, but he was almost glowing. He just seemed to be so alive and so vibrant from what I had seen before, because he was definitely a dead mess. And then he came in and he started speaking God's word to me, and like I say, he had my attention right off the bat just from his appearance. I knew something's happened to this guy. And he told me, he said, "I found it." And I'll tell you, within 20 minutes, I was sold. It's like, this is it. You're right. This is it. You know, and that's the experience we can have every time we have a humble heart before God. You know, recognizing that this is the word of God, you know. And that's what happened to these folks in Thessalonica. They saw Paul preaching, but what was coming out of his mouth, they recognized, oh, this is it. This is the word of God that this man is speaking. And it says, it effectually worketh in you that believe. Effectually worketh is just one Greek word, and it means to be active, to be at work, to put forth power. And this is wonderful because it says, it effectually worketh in you that believe. You know, it takes it from being those words on the page to being a reality in you. You know, and that's what we want to see when we receive God's word and believe this word, that word becomes real. It puts forth its power in us. It becomes active in us. And that's what these folks in Thessalonica experienced when they heard and believed that word. Because it is a living and powerful word, and we get to see and experience that power when we believe what God says. You know, and they had the proper response to hearing God's word, unlike the people we read about in Hebrews, right? Now, the gospel they heard was different, but it was their good news at that time, right? But it wasn't mixed with faith in them that heard it. Therefore, there was no profit to them at all. God's word was no less powerful. That's the thing to keep in mind. It's not that God's word loses its power because I don't believe it. I just don't get to experience that power in my life. God's word is always powerful. God's word is always living. It's just if I want to have that experience in my life, I have to accept his word as true and believe what he says, right? Because believing is always the proper response to God's word. Look at Romans chapter 1. Like I said, we won't be going to any new verses today. And if none of us ever experienced that disconnect in our lives, we wouldn't need to talk about this today. You know? But I don't know about you, but geez, every once in a while that happens to me. More every once in a while than I'd like to think. But God's made it very simple, and he makes it very clear for us in his word. Here in Romans chapter 1, Paul, speaking of his ministry in verse 1, says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations. For obedience to the faith among all nations. You know, this gospel Paul was preaching was to that end, that when the word would be heard, it would be received with what it refers to here as obedience to the faith. Obedience, and you guys can probably tell me what the word means, but I'm going to tell you. It literally means to hear under, which in and of itself sounds a little odd, to hear under. But it conveys the picture of listening and then submitting to what is heard. You listen to it and then you submit to what's heard. You hear under that, and that's what obedience is. And here it says it's obedience to the faith. You know, we choose to put ourselves under these words because we believe they're God's words, right? We put ourselves under them because they're God's word. And that's, as I said, that's always the proper response when we hear God's word, is to put ourselves under those words and accept God's word as true and then move forward with those things. You know, and we can choose to obey something for any number of reasons. You know, you could be deceived into obeying something. You know, or I could take a shotgun to Nathan and say, marry my daughter, and he might obey. But, you know, that's really not the proper motivation, right, for wanting to do that. You know, God wants us to do this because we want to be willing. I'm just going to read you a couple of verses from Isaiah chapter 1. And this is from the ESV. It says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land. You know, willing and obedient. And that's what God wants from us. He wants us willingly to submit to his word, to hear his word. And if we're like those saints in Thessalonica, it's because we recognize whose word it is, right? Who it is that's speaking. It's God and his word. Like we sang, God's faithful word. You know, and because it is a choice, right? It's a choice. But he wants us to do it willingly because it is a choice to believe his word. Let's not forget what we're talking about when we talk about believing in Romans chapter 10. As I said, Romans is filled with this. I think Tom, in one of his teachings earlier this year, said if you wanted to sum up Romans in one word, it would be that word faith. You know, but here in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I'm going to read it to you from the NIV, and I forget which one this is, whether it's the 84 or the 2011, I don't really remember. I don't even know if there's a difference in this particular verse. But it says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. You know, so first comes the message, right? First comes the message, and then comes faith or believing. And that's very important for us to remember, that That's what it is. Believing is a response to hearing God's word, right? As we've talked so many times, it's not like the force. You know, it's not some inner thing that we have to, you know, try to get going in us. That's not it. It's simply a response. It's really just the opposite of that. You know, trying to stir myself up. It's more of a submitting, right? A saying, okay, God, you said it. I'm going to rest in what you said and let you carry me through this. You know, it's more that, not me trying to sum up some special energy, but allowing God to be God, allowing him to do what he does. And it's not mysterious. You know, it's not mysterious. Faith is not, well, you know, brother, I know it doesn't make any sense, but we just got to take it by faith. No, that's not it at all. It's a response to what's heard. God tells us the truth. He tells us what's really going on. He tells us what reality is. And then he wants us to respond to that by submitting to what he says. You know, it's not mysterious. And I think that's important for us to remember. It is just as simple as what that verse says. God will tell us what he wants us to believe. He makes it very clear to us what he would have us to believe. And then it becomes a choice on our part as to whether to do that or not. You know, as I said, you hear the message. First you hear the word. So God makes plain to you what he would have you believe. Now, I'm not saying that God's going to tell us all the inner workings of everything he does and how he does it. I don't need to know that to believe him. I just know he's got the ability. He's got the knowledge. He can do whatever needs to be done. If he tells me to do this, I'm just going to do it because I know he can take care of it. Okay? So it's not that. It's not that we need to know everything that God's going to do and how he's going to do it before I accept that. No, he's God. He can take care of all that. But he gives me the information. This is what I want you to believe. This is reality. This is the truth. Well, look earlier in this chapter, two other verses that deal with this topic. Verse 9. Let's see if there's any mystery in this. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Pretty straightforward, right? Pretty plain and simple. There's nothing mysterious about that, but that's what he wants us to believe. Now, as far as believing on Jesus as Lord and that God raised him from the dead, you may need a little more information if you haven't made that decision yet than just what's in those two verses, right? You might need to hear a little more about God's plan of salvation and what it means to you. You might need more information, but there's nothing mysterious about it, right? God is very, very straightforward in what he would have us to believe. And as it says here, you know, believing is an issue of the heart, right? It's an issue of the heart. And those things that are in our heart, that's what manifests itself in our lives, right? And when we take God's word to heart and believe what he says, then that word comes to life for us. You know, we experience those things in our lives. And as I said, it's not mysterious because whether you've ever thought about it or not, every day of your life, you're making decisions affecting your life based on information that you have. You do this all the time. Hannah gives the example, I think, in her article about if someone wrongs you, you know, and how challenging that can be to forgive them and stuff because, well, they did it. They knew they were wrong, all that stuff. You know, that's true, but still God's word is very plain on that, right? He tells us very clearly what he would have us to do in those situations, and then you choose to make a decision either based on God's word or based on my feelings. See? But we do this all the time. It's not something new. That's why believing is not something you turn on and turn off. Oh, I have a need. Got to believe God. I'm not sure what you're going to turn on. You know, because either you believe what he says or you don't. It's that simple. You know, there's not a switch. It, either we do or we don't. If we don't, well, we can. We make the choice, you know. It's a choice that we make. But this is something we're doing all the time. You know, those little decisions we're making each day are affecting our lives. We can choose to do that based on God's word, or we can choose to do it on how I feel. And if I do by how I feel, more often than not, I don't feel like it today, right? But our feelings are not the basis, not what we want to be basing the decisions of our lives on. Because God's given us his word for that very purpose, so that we can follow him. We can do what he wants. But see, like I said, I think we get this idea in our minds regarding believing. Even those of us that have been taught, we still have those moments where we think it's, okay, now's the time. Now, you know what I mean? But really, it's more often than not, if that's how you're feeling, take a step back, see, and consider what God says. And things will probably get a lot simpler for you, you know? I was just thinking about, like, anxiety. You know, you have a deadline coming up, something coming up, and you start getting all anxious about it. Well, how do you solve that? Well, if we go by our five senses, we may have a number of things we do. Okay, all right, I'm going to count to 10, get myself calmed down. Or, you know, deep breaths. You know, all those things may give you momentary relief, but it's not going to help you meet the deadline. Right? Because there's no power in that. There's no power in what we're doing. God says if you have anxiety, he said, first of all, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto him. And he says, if you do that, then the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Okay, you've got a choice. 10 deep breaths. Or some other solution that man comes up with, or, okay, God tells me exactly what to do here. So if I find myself getting anxious, my response should be, Father, I know you're there for me. I know you love me. This thing's really bugging me, and I don't want it to be. I want to have peace in dealing with this. I know you've got the power, you've got the ability to do this. And I'm going to put this into your hands, and you show me what I need to do outside of the normal things I need to do. Just show me what I need to do, and I'm going to let you carry me through this. And you know what? If God's word's true, you know what you're going to experience? You're going to become peaceful about that situation because you've done what he says. Now, if you take it right back, then all bets are off. But that's where we say, oh, no, God, I am going to believe you. Now, I'm not saying you may go through a little back and forth a little bit. You may catch yourself starting to, you know, I probably should. No. Wait a minute. Nope. God said prayer, supplication with thanksgiving. I did that. He's going to get me through this. You know, so we may have to fight with our brains a little bit, but God gives us his solution, and then we make decisions in light of what he says. That's what this is all about. It's not mysterious at all. It's very straightforward in God's word. And he's given us so much wonderful information, and you know, he's equipped us to do this. He said that in the manifestations again today. He's equipped us to be able to live this way. You know, Brian covered a lot of things last week about stewarding our thoughts and about how God's enabled us to do this, and he truly has. You know, this we can be confident that what God is asking us to do in living by faith, we can do it. We can do it. He's made that possible for us. We're not like the man in Romans 7, where I see God's word over here, and that's what I really want to do that. That's what I'm going to do, and then end up failing because you lack the ability to do it. God has equipped us to live this way. Look at Romans 8, since we're in Romans here. Turn back a page or so. Brian covered these last week. Romans chapter 8. Verse verse 5. It says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is neither subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." Verse 9, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you." Well, do we have the Spirit of God dwelling in us? Yes, if you don't, talk to someone to help you so that you can get enough information so that you can believe what Romans 10, 9, and 10 said, and then you'll have the Spirit within you too. Yeah, because that's how simple it is. But see, he's equipped us to do this. We're not limited now by our five senses information. We've got more to draw on than what I think, or like Brian was talking about, that the strength of our own will. That's not what we have to go on. We've got the Spirit of God within us. You know, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Down in verse 9. It says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." You know, in what we have received, we are enabled. We can do this. We can hear God's word and believe God's word. We can walk this way. You know, because like I said, we're not limited by the strength of our own wills, our own ingenuity, or any of those things. We've got God's word. He makes it very clear for us what he would like us to believe, and also he has enabled us to do this. We are spiritual men and women. You know, we have his Spirit living within us. And now the change really is just in the way I think. Like Brian was talking about Romans 13, 14. "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." I think that's how it goes. You know, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're endeavoring to do, to grow up into him. Spiritually, we're enabled. We've got the mind of Christ. You know, we can change the way we think. And that's a great thing. Well, we'll read it. Since we're close to Romans anyway, why not read Romans 12, 1 and 2? Because our thinking does need to change. You know, we can't keep thinking the way we were previously. We do, as Brian taught so beautifully last week, about stewarding our thoughts and being transformed by the renewing of our minds. Romans 12, 1, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You know, and the thing, and I've done this, you've probably done this too, and the renewing of the mind's a little bigger than this, where I've got to renew my mind to that person at work. They're just annoying the heck out of me. Or I need to renew my mind to this other situation. Being aware of those things that need to change may be helpful, but the renewing of the mind is really, it's a changing in the way we perceive things, the way we think. It's not just an individual thought here and there, although those thoughts that we're feeding our minds with from God's Word is the food, the nutrition we need to have that change. But the renewing of the mind is really it's a change in the way we think. You know, you look at Jesus with when they were coming out of the temple, and they're talking about, oh, look how gorgeous this is, and look how those stones are in there. And Jesus said, yeah, it's all going to be crashed on the ground here. You know what I mean? The way he looked at things, he saw things very differently than what the natural man does, you know? And that's what happens with us, is we're being transformed by the renewing of our minds. The way we perceive things, our perception of things, we can look at the same situation we've looked at 100 times, but as that transformation begins to take place, we see it all differently, you know? People that used to make us angry, we may have compassion on them, you know? And you look at them, and instead of being, oh, I hate that so-and-so, it's just like, oh my gosh, I feel so sorry for that guy because he could have what I have. You know what I mean? So it's a whole change in that, and that's what we're endeavoring to have happen as we grow up into Christ, as we're putting on Christ. It's a complete change in the way that we think. I'm doing a lot of talking today. I don't usually talk this much. But obviously that's what we need to do today, so that's what we're doing. But we can be transformed. We do need to be cultivating this new nature that we have received. And as Brian said, it is important. We do have a certain amount of discipline required to steward our thoughts and to bring our thoughts back to God's Word so that we can believe what He says, you know. Because it's very easy to get caught up in the machinery of life and be making decisions during the course of a day without considering God's Word. You know what I mean? Things happen so fast sometimes you don't stop and consider, but we need to do that. And also that transformed by the renewing of our mind, that helps us change that. It does change our default settings. You know, it changes those settings to where my mind used to go to this carnal aspect, my mind now goes to the new creation I have, that I am in Christ, and my thinking is different about that situation, see? And as we're transformed, those things happen. We change in those areas of our life. And, you know, it's a supernatural process, too, which is wonderful, because I've listened to so many teachings, I forget whether they're current or old ones, but Philippians chapter 3. Verse 13. That's not what I want. 2:13. 2:12. How's that? We'll get there eventually. I'm flying by the seat of my pants, so give me a break. Well, I'm not flying by that, but anyway. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You know, bring out that which God has put within. Verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. What a wonderful thing to know that even in the transformation that God wants us to take place, we have a part in that, right? We have to read God's Word, to put God's Word on our mind, to endeavor to hold God's Word there. But the real power behind the transformation lies in the Word and the Spirit of God. And God does that. You know, He works in us to that end. We are so advantaged. I was thinking about this, you know, because I know we all have men and women in the Old Testament. We so admire the way they stood with God and walked with God and things. And I was thinking, we are miles ahead of them. You know, because you think, first of all, we get born again and it's done. We have a permanent standing before God that will never change. And even if we never did another thing for the rest of our lives for God, when that trumpet sounds, there's not going to be a sad face in the group. You know, we are going to be exuberant in seeing our Lord. But yet God, in His grace, equips us to live this life in such a way that we can both enjoy our relationship with Him, with one another, and bring glory to Him on this earth. You know? So we start off with this permanent set thing. I am always righteous. I am always sanctified. I am always redeemed. You know? I can't be separated from God's love. Yeah, that's just the foundation. And then in that spirit, it says that spirit leads us. It also inclines us to do what He would have us do. You know, it also enables us with power to utilize the manifestations. And then He gives us His word, and He will, because we got the Spirit within us, He can then enlighten the eyes of our hearts so that we can understand all this stuff. And then that's not even thinking about the promises about, you know, He's going to supply all your need. You can always be victorious in Christ when you're out making known the gospel. Just, He has so equipped us to do this. And I sometimes think, why am I not taking more advantage of all that God has made available to me, you know? And that's what He wants us to do, you know? And the simple thing that it comes down to is, like I said, we play a part in the renewing of our minds, but the simplicity of it is God just wants us to believe Him over everything else, over how I feel, over what's going on at work, over anything. Just believe my word, like the song we sang, the faithful word, you know, because it is a faithful word that God has given to us. And as I said, boy, we just need to remember when we start feeling like we lack in any way, we don't. We don't. God has equipped us to do this. And the great thing is we can just humble ourselves before Him and allow Him to be who He is. You know, He is our God. He is our Father. You see, and as I said, it's so wonderful because these are choices that we have the opportunity to make every day. You know, every day. And, you know, one of the obstacles we sometimes face in this as we're endeavoring to believe is this thing called doubt, which is also an issue of the heart. And with doubt is basically a debate or strife going on within yourself. You know, like we've talked about the little devil on one shoulder and the angel on the other. But it's an internal strife that we have. But we have that strife because we're still considering more than one source of information. That's what happens. You know, like Brian covered the record, I think it was last week, talked about when Peter walked on the water. Peter was doing fine, right? He said, Lord, if it's really You, bid me come. Jesus said, come on. And he's walking on the water. And then as he's walking on the water, he starts looking around. And he starts seeing the storms and the wind. And all of a sudden he starts sinking. And what was Jesus' response? Right. Why'd you doubt? You know, he started considering another source of information. And when he started considering that other source of information, he stopped believing what Jesus had told him, which was simply come. You know? And see, the great thing with doubt is we can choose God's word. We can stop the internal strife by choosing God's word. Yeah. But that's what it is. It's that James 1 uses the same word and calls it wavering. You know, where we're wavering back and forth. And it says that the waverer, the doubter is double-minded. He's got more than one thing going on there, see? But that's the great thing. Since this is a choice that we get to make, if I'm experiencing doubt, I can change that. I can say, no, I'm standing with God's word. And as often happens, sometimes we do, we need to take a step back and just rethink, okay, wait a minute. Let's look at a few verses in the Old Testament, Psalm 121. And I know Hannah covers this in her article. Kathy covered it in her recent teaching. Tom brought it up in his teaching about who God is, you know, keeping these things in mind. But these are the things in the heat of the moment sometimes we lose sight of. And that's why we never need to be in a big hurry. we can take a step back and reconsider some of these things. Psalm 121, verse 1 and 2. It says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. A better handling of this is it's two questions. Shall I lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help? Question. Answer. My help comes from the Lord, who, by the way, made heaven and earth. Not a bad one to be receiving our help from, you know. But those are the kind of things we need to consider when we're experiencing something where we have a question, we're wavering about something. We have the choice. It's not a permanent condition. We can change it. Yeah. And we can change it very simply by the choice we make. And if I consider, my help's coming from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Probably not much going on in my life that's going to top that, you know. I'm sure he can handle anything that he needs to handle that's happening in my life. Look at Jeremiah chapter 1. And these are just things to consider if we're having any of that internal strife when it comes to God's word. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 11. It says, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see it, a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. I like this one out of the ESV. It says, then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it. I am watching over my word to perform it. So the one that we're receiving our help from is the one who made heaven and earth. And when we are endeavoring to believe his word and to live his word, he's watching over that word to see that it's fulfilled, to see that it's performed, you know. Once again, is he going to come up short for me? No, I don't think so. Don't think so. One more, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Verse 9. It says, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. So is God going to forget you? Going to forget what he told you in his word? No. No. He's not going to do that. He made heaven and earth. He's watching over his word to perform it. And he remembers these things to 1,000 generations. So I think we're pretty well covered. You know, he's proven that he's trustworthy. You know, that we can put our trust in him and be sure that he's going to come through for us. You know, and as I said, for us, we're so well equipped, and he's our Father. He's still the same God he always was. He's still just as powerful, just as mighty. All those things are true. But he's our Father and he loves us. He wants us to do his word. He wants us to believe his word. And he's doing everything to make sure that we can do that, equipping us. And then even at that, he didn't equip us and take off. He's still there. He's still working, you know, actively in this world to see to it that his word is performed. Because the plan is still going on, right? It didn't stop when Jesus got up from the dead or with the day of Pentecost. There's still more to come. His plan is still unfolding before us, and we are a part of that, you know. And he's still watching over his word to perform it and to see those things. You know, and that in Deuteronomy 7, it said, who keeps covenant,
oh, how does it say it here? I was looking at, this is a different version that I have printed out here. Which keep covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Them that love him. That's what he wants from us too. He wants our obedience to be because we love him. You know, when you read the opening sections of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy is where Moses is preparing that second generation to go into the promised land, and he's encouraging them to keep the word, to keep the law of the Lord, to do those things. And when you read the context where he talks about that in those early chapters, he always includes, and that you love the Lord your God, that you love the Lord your God. You know, and that's what he wants from us too. Look at Galatians 5. Galatians 5:5 says, pages stop turning. Galatians 5:5, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Faith which worketh by love. The ESV says, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. You know, 1 Corinthians 13 talks about having great faith without love, and it's not good. Okay? It's not a good thing. But that should be the motivation for all of this. You know, like I said, we can get caught up in thinking about more in terms of religious duties, if I don't know another word to say it, but getting all tied up in the work of things and forget. At the base of all of this stuff is the relationship God wants to have with you and you and you and me. You know, that's the foundation for the whole thing. He loves us. He wants that father-child relationship with us. See? And then everything else comes on top of that. And at the root of that is us having the confidence in him that he is going to fulfill the word that he's promised to us and believing that word. Hearing God's word and putting ourselves under it, submitting to it, and be obedient to it because we love him. We do it willingly because we love him. I don't know if we'll get into that. Well, look at 1 John chapter 5. First John chapter 5, verse 1 says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. You know? Keeping God's word is not burdensome. You know, we show our love that we do love him when we are doing what his word says. You know, Jesus talked about that in either John 14 or 15. Talks about, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You know, that's our, we say we love God. Well, that's how we exhibit that love in this world, is by following him, by believing what he says and walking that way. And as I said, it's all about the relationship. That's what the root of this whole thing. We never want to lose sight of that, you know. We don't want to get all caught up in the work involved and everything, but remembering that this is about our Father and then the family that we are now a part of, you know, that we have the privilege of sharing in. And, you know, God wants us to choose his word over everything else. He wants us to believe him because that's what frees him up to do for us what he wants to do. You know, he's never going to overstep our freedom of will, right? But believing is our indication to him that he's free to work with us, to do what he wants to do, you know. He's free to intervene in our lives. just about wrapped up here. I like this comment from an author I read. He said, "The only condition placed upon man for the enjoyment of all the blessings of grace is faith." You know, all the only condition placed upon man for the enjoyment of all the blessings of grace is faith. You know, we will simply believe what God says, then he's free to treat us as his children the way he wants to. And how often do we hear that in manifestations? To let him be who he is, you know, let him do what he does. Well, let's read just a couple more verses here. Hebrews 10. And this is just good encouragement for us as well as to those who Hebrews was addressing at the time. And you know, when it comes to, well, I'll read these first. Hebrews 10, 11. Verse 35. Says, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise." You know, I know that's an unpopular concept in the world we live in today, but it's one that we need to adopt. I think that's where those Old Testament records are so helpful to us too, because it gets us, it enables us to see God working through things that he's promised. And oftentimes, you know, we're used to, we think if it doesn't happen in the next 10 minutes that, well, God must not have heard, or maybe I need to do something else, or how did I miss it? Or, but you read those Old Testament records, and man, I think that's Romans 15:4. "Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." You know, you see God working with people. I read through Exodus not too long ago, chapter 3 through 13, where he starts working with Moses and tells Moses everything that's going to transpire. And then Moses and Aaron go and start talking to Pharaoh, and there's a slight blow up at the beginning. And God tells him, look, he's not going to let you go short of a mighty hand, you know. And he tells him ahead of time. And then you just see God working through the whole thing. And exactly what he said was going to happen happened, right? They were let out of Egypt, and their enemy was dead behind them when they went through the Red Sea. Even in that situation, I thought about the verse that where it talks about that he didn't lead them in the most direct way because of the impact it was going to have on their hearts and minds. So he took them a longer way. And I thought, you don't even know that's happening, but God knows what he's doing. He knows how to navigate these things. The other thing you read in the Old Testament, a lot of times things take a lot longer than they need to because of who he's working with. He's working with people like us. Like Kathy in her teaching, I think, talked about Abraham and how it was, you know, the promise God made to Abraham about the heir finally comes about 25 years later. It was available right after he made the promise. He had the wife. You know, everything was there to make it happen, but he had to wait on them to finally get around to the point of saying, okay, I know we can't do this. Neither one of our bodies are up to this, but God said it can happen, so it'll happen. And it happened, you know, just that simple. But we do need to have that patience to just go ahead and step back and let God be God. Well, I think that's good enough for this morning. I had some other things I was going to talk about, but you know, just remembering these things, hopefully it's been a helpful review to you to just reconsider some of these things again and just think that, look, God has made this very simple. He defines for us what faith is. He tells us the truth and then asks us to please submit yourselves to it and let me be who I am. You know? So, Heavenly Father, thank you for, well, for being who you are. You are the only true God, Father, and we know that in the depths of our hearts. Thank you for calling us out of this world. Thank you for making us your children, for giving us a hope for all eternity. Thank you for giving us your wonderful word, your faithful word, that we can go to, that we can read, that we can learn of you. We can learn what you've done for us, what you would have us do in this life. Father, I just pray that you continue to open our hearts and to these things so that we can live for you, that we can perform for you in this world the way you would have us, so that we can shine forth as lights, that we can bring others to this glorious gospel, that they might receive the salvation that we have received. Thank you for all these wonderful saints here this morning, Father, for blessing them and working in them. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.